Hello, I'm Mark DeLuzio. Over the past century, our constitutional republic, grounded in the rule of law, has been transformed into a tyrannical democracy, orchestrated by unelected bureaucrats and globalists. The Constitution is now treated as a suggestion, not the law of the land. Welcome to the Constitution Solution, one podcast under God.
Hi, I'm Mark's co-host, Suzette Lawrence. Our intention is to explore the Constitution and discuss how our freedoms and constitutional rights are violated by those very politicians who took an oath on the Bible to uphold it. Learn how the Constitution is the solution to our country's problems. What do we need to do to restore our inalienable and enumerated rights? Class begins now.
Welcome to the Constitution Solution, one podcast under God. You'll notice my co-host, Suzette Lawrence, is not present today. She is on a much-needed vacation, and she'll be back, I believe, next week, and we'll be catching up with her on the next episode with Paul Gosar. He'll be coming on. Congressman Paul Gosar is a friend and, to me, one of the best constitutional congressman in Congress today, and you could tell he's good because they go after him. He's going to be on to talk about emergency spending, and I'm going to touch on emergency spending today. This episode, episode 31, is called "We Are a Representative Republic," or are we? Big question mark there, or are we? I want to talk about the fact that I do not think we are truly a representative republic anymore, and I'll give you the reasons, at least a few of them, that I think are driving us away from what the founding fathers had in store for us as a unique experiment that we call America. Okay. Let me start by talking about a republic and a democracy and what the differences are. Now, we had a whole episode on this way back on episode 7, quite a while ago. So if you want to refresh yourself in that, go ahead and listen to that episode. Now, I've had arguments with very educated people, including history professors in high schools, that will argue with me that we are a democracy and that a republic is just another name for a democracy. And it is mind-boggling to me that these teachers who are teaching our children don't know the difference. And this is one of the fundamental founding fathers' frameworks that they insisted the Constitution in our form of government was all about. Okay? Let me go through and just talk really quick about a democracy versus a republic. A democracy is basically majority rule, or if you want, you can call it mob rule. If 50% plus one person votes for something, it is law. That is what is called a democracy, mob rule. Where a republic is a representative government, and you know we have representatives called congressmen that represent us, okay? And the rights of the minority do not get trampled on by the rights of a majority. Where in a democracy, that's exactly what happens. And it happens throughout history, and it's happened everywhere you look. Now, let me just talk really quick. Now, I'll spend a lot of time on this, but I want to get the framework of what a republic is and what a representative republic is. Again, we have representative called congressmen. Now, remember, there today are 435 congressmen, and that could change. That could be legislated, but right now there's 435. And every 10 years, we take a census, and we count the number of people, some 330 million. We divide that by 435, and that means there's 435 congressional districts. So states have a portion based on population, like Arizona has 9 congressional districts, okay? Based on the population. The number in 2020, and remember, we do the census every year, came out to be something like, I think, 763,000 and change. per each district. So every district has the same number of people in them. Okay. And that's how the math is done. Now, one of the ways that you're not representative, you're not represented, is that when they take the census, they count everybody. They count people who are not citizens. They count people who have green cards. And in many cases, they're counting illegal aliens who are living in the United States. A very loosely controlled process. So if you live in a congressional district that's heavily populated with non-citizens, that's one of the ways that you're not getting represented. You're not getting your voice heard. Okay. So I'll just start there and say right off the bat, we're batting zero when it comes to being truly represented in Congress. When I talk about us being represented, I'm talking about U.S. citizens. Okay. Let me just read a few quotes that our founding fathers had about democracies and republics. Okay. Thomas Jefferson, who I think was probably one of the most brilliant people in our history. A democracy is nothing more than mob rule, where 51% of the people may take away the rights of the other 49. Okay. John Adams, who, by the way, was a big government guy. Remember, democracy never lasts long. It soon wastes, exhausts, and murders itself. There never was a democracy yet that did not commit suicide. I don't think Mr. Adams, we have to go too far to really understand what he meant, right? James Madison, who actually wrote the Constitution, he was the author of the Constitution. In republics, the great danger is that the majority may not sufficiently represent the rights of the minority. Alexander Hamilton, another big government guy. Remember, Adams and Hamilton wanted bigger governments, where, you know, guys like Jefferson and Madison wanted more limited government, which we ended up with, at least starting out with. That's where we ended up. We're not that today, though. Okay, and I'll get more into that. Alexander Hamilton said, "We are a Republican government. Real liberty is never found in despotism or in the extremes of democracy." But what he's saying is, you don't have freedoms in a democracy. Okay, and if you look around the world and look at governments that are democracies and not republics, and most of them are democracies, you could see their rights being taken away slowly. In Australia, they're taking away their guns. There are jail terms for saying the wrong things in Europe. Okay, so this is what's going on here. And we're not too far from that, by the way. And last but not least, and I say the best for last, because Benjamin Franklin had a great saying about this. And if you don't understand what these guys just said, you'll understand this, because this one here is clear. Democracy is two wolves and a lamb voting on what to have for lunch. Can you get any clearer than that? If you're the lamb, you're out of luck. However, he went on to say, liberty is a well-armed lamb contesting the vote. Okay, so therein lies the genius behind the Second Amendment. The founders put the Second Amendment in, part of our Bill of Rights. I'm not going to spend a lot of time on the Second Amendment. We'll probably do that in another episode, but thank God for that, because we would not be the country we are today, even though we're messed up and we got a lot of, a lot of our freedoms being challenged. We would not be that country today if we did not have the Second Amendment. I can guarantee you that. Okay. So let's get into why I think we are no longer a true representative republic, even though that's what our founders designed us to be. In episode 8, I talked about the fourth branch of government. Those are my words. Sometimes you hear like the administrative state. You hear the ABCs of the ABC agencies, things like that, right? The fourth branch of government are all of these unconstitutional agencies that fundamentally are set by Congress to execute laws, very broad laws, that they pass in Congress. So examples, and by the way, most of them are unconstitutional, and there's dozens and dozens and dozens of agencies, but some of the more popular ones that you might have heard about: the Department of Education, the Environmental Protection Agency, EPA, OSHA, okay, the CDC, the Center for Disease Control. What else? The Federal Communications Commission, the FCC, controls our airwaves, limits radio stations to 50,000 watts. Where in the Constitution does it say they have jurisdiction over our airwaves? Government doesn't own the airwaves, okay? Well, back then, there were no radios and all that, but still, the whole idea stands still. It's not in the Constitution, okay? The ATF, alcohol, tobacco, and firearms. Now, it's interesting how those three things kind of got together in one agency. I don't know what they have to do with each other, but it's all about government control. It's all about how we control those particular products, okay? There's nothing in the Constitution that says that. Now, there is an interstate commerce clause, but as far as controlling those particular products, hey, why not throw everything in there, right? Then we've got, there's a number of them, right? I think you probably know. Of course, there's our famous one you probably all love, is the IRS, the Internal Revenue Service, the FBI, the CIA. I can go on and on and on. Now, how does this all work? The first agency that was set up by Woodrow Wilson, I call him Woody. Woody set up the 1913, the Federal Trade Commission, and he wanted more control over the government. And he figured out that he might be able to do that by setting up these agencies. Okay. And from there, everything just kind of snowballed from there. There's all kinds of agencies that were set up. I think the Department of Education, was it set up by Carter? I can't remember who. But anyway, all these presidents set up all these different agencies. Nixon did it. I mean, everybody, you know, on both sides of the aisle. And what they do is they pass broad laws, hand them over to these agencies. These agencies then write regulations that they think need to be written. These regulations have the power of law. You can go to jail if you violate these regulations. You could be fined. They could take your property, your house, your car. They can incarcerate you. And these agencies report into the executive branch of government. For those of you in Rio Linda, I have to always bring back Rush Limbaugh. I so dearly miss him. But for those of you in Rio Linda, the executive branch is the president. Now, that means that if there are regulations that are being suggested in these agencies by the president, that means the executive branch, in effect, is writing law. That is not what the founders had in mind. The founders did not have in mind that these agencies could, in fact, have that kind of power. So no longer do you have a representative that you can complain about a bad law, because the regulations now are over on the other side of one of the other branches of government. And there are separation of powers. Remember, we have the executive branch, as I just described, the judicial branch, which is the Supreme Court. And we have the legislative branch, which is the Congress and the Senate. And Congress writes the laws, right? Have to pass both houses and then signed by the president. And there's all these checks and balances. I think I have an episode on checks and balances back somewhere earlier in this podcast as well. So you think about now, the president now has the power that he's not supposed to have. And who do you complain to? So if you don't like something that's going on at one of these agencies, who do you call? Call your congressman. Well, I did call my congressman. I had a situation with the IRS. There's a form called a residency certificate. I was doing business in India. This just happened a few months ago, earlier this year. That residency certificate is required by the government of India because we have trade agreements that they will not withhold taxes on my invoices when I invoice them. Okay. Now, all the residency certificate is IRS telling me that I'm a resident. Like, I don't know that. Okay. But I have to get this document provided to my client so that they could pay me. Well, I had a lot of money hung up, and IRS was supposed to get this done within 30 days. It took well over 90. And I called the IRS several times, couldn't get anywhere. I finally called my congressman. My congressman, his office anyway, told me, we can scream and yell, but we don't have any control over these agencies. We'll just get in line like everybody else. You gotta be kidding me. So I had no power, no representative could help me in this regard. And when I talked to the lady at the IRS, I said, hey, look, you guys are late and you're holding up all the time. Can't you expedite this? No, sir, we have our policies. We have to do it in the order they come in. Yeah, but your website says 30 days. I did it when you said I should do it. And now I'm being held up. Oh, sorry, sir. That's just the way it is. I said, well, who can I talk to? Oh, there's really nobody to talk to because whoever you talk to is going to tell you the same thing. I said, you don't understand. I said, you know, you guys are supposed to serve us. You guys work for us. She said, where does this say that? I said, I said, this is a small little booklet. It's only 4,500 words or so. It's called the U.S. Constitution. That's where it says it. She says, I'll have to check that out. Okay, so she probably didn't even know what the Constitution was. So this is who we have running these agencies. Unelected bureaucrats that are taking away your freedoms. This happens with the Department of Education. I think they have like 4,000 people working at the Department of Education. I have no idea what these guys are doing. No idea, no visibility at all in these agencies. Okay? I think we're spending $60 to $100 billion a year in these agencies, in the Department of Ed. And what they do is they take our money from the states and then blackmail us saying, hey, if you don't do critical race theory, if you don't do, you know, Common Core, you're not getting funding. They blackmail us to actually, so we have no control over our education. And that should be a local issue at the state and local level, where if I have a problem with the school that my kid goes to, I can go to a local board of ed and complain. I can't go to Washington and complain to some bureaucrat. First of all, if I did, which 4,000 of those people do I talk to? Good luck with that. It's not going to work, okay? When a congressman can't have any effect on an agency, how the heck would me, Joe Citizen, or you have any kind of play in one of those agencies? Okay, so there's one reason why we're not being represented. We are not a representative republic, okay? Now, there's more to say about that. But I'm going to move on. Oh, by the way, let me just tell you one other thing that happened, just to let you know. That during COVID, the Center for Disease Control, which is another ABC agency, a non-constitutional agency, put an edict out that said landlords cannot evict their tenants during COVID. So guess what? Tenants didn't pay their landlord for non-payment, I should say. They can't evict them for non-payment. So people didn't pay their rent. Landlords lost their property. They got foreclosed by the banks, all because of a regulation by some unelected bureaucrat at the CDC. That's the kind of power they have. Now, I always tell people, whenever you see something crazy like this, follow the money. Follow the money. Who bought up these properties? All the financial institutions and private equity firms, all big donors, to who? To congressmen, to senators. When in doubt, when you see something crazy happen with the government and you can't figure out, how could they do that? Follow the money. And here's another reason why the landlords, in this case, rights were taken from them by unelected bureaucrats. Okay? So, fourth branch of government. There's a lot more to say about that, but let's just leave it there for now. Two, I want to talk about the military-industrial complex. Our government has a history of getting in unjust wars. Most of the wars that we've been were uncalled for, unjust. We should never have been in those wars, including Vietnam. Okay, now Vietnam, what Article 1, Section 8 says Congress can only declare war, only Congress. The founding fathers did not want to give any one individual, especially the president, who's our commander in chief, the ability to declare war. They wanted that to go to the people and the representatives that represent them, which is Congress. Well, Congress did approve Vietnam, except for the fact that Lyndon Johnson lied to Congress and the American people about the attack we had on the Bay of Tonkin. There was no attack. And he used that as fodder to go to war. Now, there's more to that because there's a lot of evidence that's coming out now that Kennedy got killed because he wanted to pull out of Vietnam. Lyndon Johnson was heavily invested in companies like Bell Helicopter. Made a lot of money when we went to war in Vietnam. 58,000 body bags later and all the other collateral damage with PTS, the suicides, the broken families, the injuries, were still suffering from that war today in America, okay? Truman went to Korea, called it a police action, so he didn't feel he needed to go to Congress to get approval. Well, 37,000 body bags later and all the damage that goes along with war, okay? Clinton, Obama, Reagan. Reagan did it with Nicaragua. He didn't go to Congress to get a declaration of war. All these presidents, George Bush, did get approval for Iraq. However, there's good evidence that we were lied to about the weapons of mass destruction. Would Colin Powell and Bush and Cheney and all those clowns, okay? Now, let's think about Cheney. Big interest in war with Halliburton. That changed the name to BlackRock, okay, because of the PR. So you see what's going on here, right? All of these, follow the money when it comes to war. We're fighting all these wars. Now, our buddy here, Biden, we are now fighting wars in Yemen. We're who knows where we're fighting that we may not even know about, right? Just like Johnson went into Cambodia and nobody knew about it. I met a Vietnam vet. I'm sorry, a Cambodian vet, actually. He said, I was in Cambodia. I go, oh, you probably didn't get your benefits. He goes, how did you know that? I go, because you weren't supposed to be there. He goes, exactly. All my records are gone. I have no Purple Heart. He said, because I wasn't supposed to be in Cambodia. Right now, who knows where Biden's got us going? But the ironic one is Iraq. We're now attacking Iraq. And everybody says, well, we're not really at war. Well, go back to Webster's 1828 dictionary. Noah Webster wrote that dictionary because he wanted to memorialize the words that we used in our founding documents. And if you look at the definition of war, we are at war. Okay, it's so clear. Now, interestingly enough, Iraq, my son who got killed in Afghanistan fought in Iraq before he went to Afghanistan. That campaign was called Iraqi Freedom. It's kind of ironic, isn't it? Because we were supposed to free Iraq. And now we're attacking Iraq. How did that all work out? Okay. We have warmongers in Congress. We have warmongers in the administrative state, in the Pentagon. These guys make a lot of money. Congressmen, there's certain congressmen make a lot of money doling out contracts to these defense contractors. When Biden put Lloyd Austin in as defense secretary, it was clear to me that we're going to be in all kinds of wars, and Ukraine being one of them. I don't care what you say. We are fighting in Ukraine, all right? Billions and billions and billions of dollars that we're pumping into the military-industrial complex. And by the way, Lloyd Austin was on the board for Raytheon, one of the biggest defense contractors. Matter of fact, I think they're the biggest, if I'm not mistaken. He was on the board for Raytheon. You don't think he has a financial interest in going to war? This is incredible what's going on here. Now, you have no say as to whether or not our country goes to war. All these people that are making these calls, okay, are bypassing Congress. Or if they're not bypassing Congress, they're lying to us as American people. And we're thinking that our congressmen are going to do the right thing, which isn't something that I don't think you could count on. Anyway, just think about the military-industrial complex and how they're taking away your freedoms. And I'm going to tie this into emergency spending in a minute. When I say taking away your freedoms, you're paying for all these wars. Not only, you know, monetarily, but families like mine and other, you know, families and veterans that come back. The war doesn't end when a veteran comes home. The war does not end, especially at 2 a.m. when they wake up in a cold sweat, okay, and wonder whether or not they need to put that gun to their head and end it all. And it happens all too often, okay? These people who are doing this are evil. I am sorry. And the only ones that are talking about the military-industrial complex, now, where did that word come from? It came from Eisenhower. In his farewell speech over 60 years ago, when before Kennedy took over, Eisenhower warned us about the military-industrial complex. And he called it, in his speech, which was written like 30 times, he crossed out the word congressional because the speech writers wanted to call it the military-industrial congressional complex. And he warned us that we're going to start wars because of the monetary value of wars. And he was absolutely right. But he crossed the word out congressional. I sometimes think he was involved in the military-industrial complex as well. Now, the only people that are talking about it, Tulsi Gabbard, who was a congresswoman from Hawaii. She was a Democrat. She had, I believe, 8 years in Congress. She just now turned independent not too long ago, and she's supporting President Trump. She's the only one who's talking about the military-industrial complex besides President Trump. And I just wish President Trump would talk about it a little bit more. Okay. But Tulsi Gabbard is in the, still, I think, believe into the Hawaiian National Guard. She's been deployed to combat zones a number of times. So she knows what she's talking about. Okay. And she saw the inside of how the government works in this regard. And President Trump didn't start a war. And he took money out of the piggy banks of all these people who are making money in the military-industrial complex. There's no money in peace for these people. Just like there's no money in a healthy America, and there's no money in a limited government. Okay? All those three things are money makers for the people in charge. So another reason why we're not being represented as a people, okay? That's two. So fourth branch of government, military industrial complex. Now let me go on to emergency spending bills. Now I'm going to have Paul Gosar on the show in a week or two. We have him scheduled. Representative Gosar, Congressman Gosar is a friend of mine, and I think one of the best congressmen in Congress, the most conservative, so much so that the Cheneys are going after him. They actually have a pact, try to destroy his family, break up his marriage, which didn't happen, separate his kids, all his siblings. They did a good job, though, turning his siblings against him, okay? But look, when you start paying off a lot of people, people will say different things, okay? And it doesn't matter sometimes. Money talks. But they actually have a pact. The Cheneys have a pact against Paul Gosar. Think about that. Because Paul doesn't pull any punches, and he tells it like it is, okay? Well, he talked to me about emergency spending. I said, Paul, can you come on the show and talk about it? Let me briefly tell you what emergency spending bills are, okay? These are bills that bypass the rules of Congress in terms of how Congress is supposed to spend money. And as a matter of fact, the president, through a declaration of emergency spending as it relates to disaster relief, can spend money. And there's like, I think Paul Gosar told me there was some 40 plus spending bills still active out there that people are funneling money in, one of them being COVID. He told me there's one out there still about the tyranny of Gaddafi, who Hillary assassinated, you know, years ago. That's still out there, still collecting cash. Now, the Cato Institute claims that we have spent over $12 trillion since 1992 on emergency spending. That's about $400 billion a year. Think about that. It's about 10% of our normal budget, okay? Every year, $400 billion. And in order for it to, the Budget Control Act of 2011 said, hey, look, there's five criteria you have to meet to call it an emergency spending. It has to be necessary, sudden, urgent, unforeseen, and non-permanent. Now, good luck with that, because there's no process to vet any type of spending against that criteria. Zero. So you tell me, just on one here called necessary, how would you actually have that conversation that it's necessary? It's all subjective, okay? There's no criteria here. First of all, the whole idea of emergency spending is unconstitutional to begin with, I believe, okay? And the president shouldn't be allowed to spend money. The power of the purse rests with Congress. Your representatives, okay, well, now your taxpayer money is now being spent by somebody who doesn't represent you. You see how this all works? So we'll have a lot more on emergency spending bills with Paul Gosar. But I just want to bring that up. That is another way where your rights and your representation in Washington are being abridged. Okay. The last one, and this is one of my favorites. Well, it's not really a favorite of mine, but it's one I talk about a lot. Suzette and I just did two episodes on the Federal Reserve, episode 27 and 28. And we're probably going to have a lot more episodes. We're going to have one on the gold standard, which ties into this and everything else. The founding fathers, Thomas Jefferson in particular, did not want a central bank. Now, we had three or four central banks over the years, but nowhere were they as powerful as the one we have now called the Federal Reserve. In 1913, led by J.P. Morgan and some industrialists, created legislation. Now, he wasn't a congressman, but he influenced legislation to pass the Federal Reserve Act of 1913, where Woody Wilson was president. He signed it into law, okay? They passed it on December 23rd, 1913, when most of the Congress was away for the holiday. They slipped it in right underneath the nose of the American people. And I don't believe anybody blinked an eye. Okay. The Federal Reserve, their mandate is to keep our economy stable. How's that working out for you? Have you been to the grocery store lately? Okay. The Federal Reserve, since 1913, is responsible for every single economic calamity that this country has had, including the 1929 stock market crash, the Great Depression, which, you know, FDR promulgated for 10 years through his policies and the Fed's policies, okay? The 1987 crash, the 2008 financial crisis, and the one that we're currently in. I can guarantee you that we are ready for a collapse. And it's going to happen on Trump's watch should he become president, and they'll blame him for it. We already had a recession under Biden. A recession is defined as two consecutive quarters of negative GDP growth. Okay. Now, Biden redefined what a recession was. I didn't realize the president had that kind of power. All the economic courses I took over the course of time, I guess they were all wrong. I don't know how he defined a recession, but he tried to redefine what a recession was. Okay. We are on the top of a roller coaster ready to crash. Okay. And you're going to see it in all kinds of different ways. And again, I could tie this right back to the Federal Reserve expanding the money supply. By the way, the expansion of the money supply, I talk about this in one of the earlier episodes, one of the first episodes we did on constitutional economics. Inflation is defined as an expansion of the money supply. People have a hard time wrapping their head around that because money's not like tomatoes or automobiles. I can't see it. They don't even know there's an inventory of money out in the marketplace today, but there is. And the more you have of anything, it's worth less. I don't care what it is. I don't care if it's tomatoes, automobiles, okay? I said to my grandson, you know, when he was 10 years old, I said, if there's only one Mickey Mantle baseball card in the world versus a million, which would be worth more? He said, Poppy, geez, if there's only one Mickey Mantle baseball card, it'd be worth a gazillion dollars. He gets it, 10 years old, okay? How come these politicians don't get that? They do get it. That's the point. They understand exactly what's going on because there's a globalist Marxist overtake of this country, and that's part of it. The economic ruin of this country is what's going to bring us down to our knees, okay? Not a bomb. There's a lot of other ways that we're vulnerable with China and everything else, but the economy is the way that we're going to lose it if we don't start righting the ship. Now, President Trump can't be bought by these people. That's why they don't want him in. Think about what they did. Russian collusion, which makes Watergate look like a dime store robbery. Nobody went to jail for that. They tried to impeach him twice, one time over a 30-minute phone call to Ukraine because he was poking the skunk, trying to find out what was going on over there with Zelensky and Biden and Hunter and all those, you know, players. So they tried to impeach him twice. That didn't work. So what do? They went through all these legal suits now. He was out of office already. And they went through all these legal suits. And they're not working. So what just happened? An assassination attempt. You see what I'm saying? All this stuff ties together. And he can't be bought. I mean, what are you going to do? Bribe him with a pretty woman? Look who he's married to. Okay? And by the way, he can get any woman he wants. Why would he, you know, have to be bribed by some Russian spy? All right? So this is really critical, the corruption in our government and what's going on. Now, the Federal Reserve, then what do? They electronically create money. They print money. Expands the money supply, which means your dollars are worth less. The result is prices at the grocery store go up, gas prices, automobile prices. Everything goes up because the dollars that you have now are worth less money because there's more dollars out there. So you ever notice that something goes on sale and the price goes down because the store has too much of a particular item? That's exactly the same concept I'm talking about here. Okay, exactly the same concept. So what do? They loan that money to the government and they buy T-bills. They sell the T-bills to all these different banks. And because they cause inflation, what do? They have to raise interest rates now to quell inflation, which basically destroys the economy. And that's what's going on right now. We just had a report, close to 1 million jobs had to be written down from the estimates. Okay. The economy is going to suffer now. It's going to be joblessness. It's going to be high prices. It's going to be another economic collapse. There'll be layoffs. Okay. Now, the Federal Reserve, by the way, talk about unelected bureaucrats. They're not even part of the government. They're 12 independent banks. I've been to one in Cleveland. I actually did a tour. I had a lady that used to work for me who got a job there. She took me through. Do you know they have a gun range there? They have ammunition. They have an arsenal there at the Cleveland Federal Reserve. I walked through the whole thing. Okay. Quite a tour to see something like that. The Federal Reserve has 50 corporate planes, private jets. Each bank, each of the 12 banks are independent corporations, and you can't buy stock in them. Only the banks can buy stock in them. So think about this. A company that manufactures a product has cost of goods sold. They have materials, they have labor, they have overhead they have to pay. Not them. Because whatever they make on interest, they're supposed to pay. They can pay their expenses and any excess they have to pay back to the government. Well, guess what? They don't pay it back to the government only because, hey, why should I do that? Let's just go pay a janitor $160,000 a year. That's what happens. Okay? Let's go buy another corporate jet. The people at the Federal Reserve are making out like bandits and they have zero cost of sales when you get down to it. So my point, though, is that they are taking liberties with your freedoms. Why? Because your money is being devalued. You're going to end up paying more taxes because of the spending that's going on, not only with executive spending bills, like all these wars are financed that way. They're off budget. They're off budget. Your freedoms will be taken away by the Federal Reserve. Okay? And Go to episode 27 and 28 and listen to Suzette and I talk about the details of the Federal Reserve. And you'll be so surprised about how corrupt this whole system is. And Congress has the ability, by the way the law was written, to be able to modify or take away the Federal Reserve altogether. And there is no transparency. We don't know. We can't get a hold of on any records as to how they spend their money, who gets paid what. All that's closed off to the public. So here are the four things. I'll review them again. The fourth branch of government, the military industrial complex, emergency spending bills, and the Federal Reserve. Now, there's other things going on that I could talk about, but I'm going to stop there at those four and let you know that, yeah, we could stand here all day and say, we are a republic. We're not a democracy, a representative republic. But in reality, we're not, for those reasons I just discussed. But it does upset me when politicians call our government a democracy. It's not that at all. It's a republic. If we don't reverse the trend about what's going on here, we're going to lose our country. We're going to lose our country. And there's a few fighting for us. Guys like Andy Biggs here in Arizona, Paul Gosar in Arizona, Eli Crane. You got unelected people like Tulsi Gabbard being a big voice. Of course, President Trump is onto this. Only a handful of people. And by the way, the corruptions on both sides of the aisle It's not just on one side. It's on both sides of the aisle. Follow the money, okay? But our form of government is, I would say, and this has been going on for a long time, okay, especially since 1913 with Woody Wilson, right? When he looked at the checks and balances and called it a theory. Nobody pushed back on him then. It's not a theory. The checks and balances are the law. The Constitution is not a suggestion. It's the law. But we look at it like it's an old document. Okay. Had an argument with one liberal. I said, what about the Bible? Well, guess what? Don't think much about that either. Because Marxists don't want religion. They don't want God. They want you to worship them. And I can guarantee you right now, there will be, you know, socialism, first of all, is a JV team for communism. Okay. So all you Bernie Sanders fans out there, if you are listening to this, which I doubt you are, it's a JV team for communism. And there will be winners in communism. I can guarantee you there'll be some winners. But it won't be you. It will not be you. Okay? So I'm going to stop there. I just want to bring all of this to your attention because right now we're in peril. We're not being represented the way we should be represented. And I'm not saying it doesn't matter who gets in. It does matter. We need more people like the ones I described to fight for our republic. Okay? All right. Episode 31, Mark DeLuzio. This episode was called, We Are a Representative Republic, or Are We? I'll leave that up to you to discuss. God bless you. God bless America. We'll see you guys next time. And next time we'll get Suzette back onto the show. And you'll have somebody better to look at and more pleasing to listen to when she comes back. So she'll be back soon. Take care, guys. See you next time. Thanks for listening to The Constitution Solution, one podcast under God, where we hold that strict adherence to the Constitution is the solution to most of our country's problems.
You can find other episodes on our website at 1787solution.com, YouTube, Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and most other platforms. We're your hosts, Mark DeLuzio and Suzette Lawrence. Until next time, may God bless you and may God bless America.